Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Weekly Highlights podcast with me, Georgie Corridge-Cole. This week I'm joined by Maya Lucky, Charlotte Collins and Astrid Carter. So what has everyone been up to this week?
Well, I've been away for 2 weeks. I've been touring the southern states of North America with my boyfriend. And we did Nashville, Memphis, New Orleans and Austin. So yeah, that was fun.
Did you hire a car?
Hired a car.
A Cadillac?
No. So I've done a road trip before and everybody loves the idea of like roof down. First of all, we drove 1,400 miles. So, like, you don't want to do that in a convertible. Wow. Second of all, you need to like store your luggage and like your rubbish. So
your luggage. Charlotte, how many
suitcases? Yeah, like my fleet of Louis Vuitton. No, obviously not, but you know, you've got to be able to have like a storage space. So no, it was a big 4x4, and yeah, it was great. So fun.
And what were the highlights?
Highlights for me was definitely the main highlight was Nashville. It's just such a cool city. So fun, like really eclectic, like just the right side of touristy. Loved
really?
It.
Really? What would you liken it to?
Nowhere. That's why I loved it. It's so different to like anywhere else I've been before.
Really?
Yeah, really. Just like a really like going to a uni town where people aren't childish and drunk and aggressive. Does that make sense? It's just like a really fun young party atmosphere.
But
like,
does it feel very southern?
Yes, so southern. Like all this country music, but like in not a kind of cliche way, and just like a really fun, like that's actually what they do there. They go and listen to country music. Yeah, it was just so fun.
Is it like the TV series?
I've never watched it. Everybody said that to me.
You've got to watch it now. Nashville.
Yeah.
What about you, Astrid?
I went to the Ginger Line. Has anyone heard of
it? Yes, you did. I want to hear all about this.
So I can't really tell you anything. It's when you go, you basically go in, it's an immersive foodie experience and you're sworn to secrecy afterwards to keep the kind of hype up.
Haven't you been before?
Yeah, I went to the last one, but it's completely different. Yeah, so the last one was called the Chamber of Flavours, which you can't talk about now because it's over. Go through all these kind of different chambers that are different times and different eras, and then they kind of pair food and pair characters.
Oh my god, I didn't all those love different that
times. It was really cool. The new one is called the Juniper Manor, so it's
all about gin.
Yeah, they've teamed up with Sipsmith. You get loads of amazing gin cocktails paired with your dinner.
Oh. So they don't tell you where it is, so what, you book online,
you know that it's on. So the Ginger Line is like the overground, that's what they call it.
Yeah,
that's why they call it the Ginger Line. But yeah, you know it's going to be somewhere along that line, and then at 4 p.m. that day you get sent a text message of where it's going to be.
Oh my god, that's so cool.
It's quite a long line, like it's like
they did tell, like, you get sent through a confirmation. It said it's between Highbury and Islington and New Cross, which is actually quite far, but yeah, as long as you like head that way.
Okay,
so you then pitched up to a venue.
Yeah, literally
like a pop-up venue, pop-up space, not a restaurant.
It's like a disused kind of warehouse archer kind of place.
I mean, what are they going to do if you tell us? Are they going to come and hunt you down?
I don't want to tell anyone.
Bounce you on your head.
It's like a game of completely ruin it for people.
Yeah. And how many people go on a night?
I think this one you could have 16 or 20 people per set sitting. So you could either like block out the whole thing and go as like a birthday party or something.
Fun.
Or just with friends or with your boyfriend, whatever.
And does it happen every night? How often does it happen?
I think it probably happens a couple of times every night while it's on. It's on for the whole summer. So.
Okay. And did you chat to everyone else? Is it quite a sort of
yeah,
a
people,
group experience?
There were some,
you know,
some
things
that,
people don't make an effort.
Yeah, there were some people that really wanted to get involved, like a bit amateur dramatics about it. But yeah, people were really friendly.
I guess if you're someone though that does that kind of thing, you're up for a bit of fun.
Yeah, it is really fun. And like, and the actors are just amazing. They just play off people so well.
Actors.
So there's actors in each like area.
Oh god, that was a bit amdram, isn't it?
But it's not like, I don't know, it's not cheesy or like cringe. Like they just do it so well, and they're really funny. Like,
and is it really good food?
When I went to the first one, I was actually quite disappointed with the food, but you kind of don't really go for that, you go for the experience.
Yeah.
But this time the food had definitely got better. I mean, it's not blow your mind kind of food, but pretty good.
What about TV? What's anyone watched TV wise other than Love Island, which we're not going to talk about this
Can't
week?
Stop talking about it. I haven't watched masses of TV this week actually, but we did speak about before Riviera. Did anyone get around to watching it?
No, my boyfriend's been watching it. He said it was really good, not as good as The Night Manager. That's
his
assessment. Yeah.
Is it of the same
milk? Supposedly it's of the same milk. I think he's just plucking random shows. I think it's the same kind of thing, like murder mystery, glamorous setting, like that.
Oh my god, I'm sold. If it's like half as good as The Night Manager.
Right, well, he's okay, so all he said was that it wasn't as good, but enjoyable.
I love that Julia Stiles is in it.
I know, comeback. Yeah. I know, but
bloody Sky Atlantic again. I know, so annoying. I actually watched The Hospital the other day, which is in its second series, I think. I've never watched it before. I think it's like 24 hours in A&E. But it was really interesting because this episode was filmed in St Mary's, Haddington, and it was filmed on the day of the Westminster attacks.
Oh, wow. Oh, God.
So it starts with this team, this managerial meeting discussing, I think, they're discussing recruitment and vacancies and et cetera, et cetera. So they all get these text messages saying that they're on standby for a severe emergency. And anyway, it transpires that these terrorist attacks have happened, and it's really early on and it's all just unfolding on the TV. But it's just fascinating because they then want to clear beds in intensive care and operating theatres. They are then in a situation where they want to move some patients from their hospital to other hospitals. Yeah. We've also got the sort of senior staff saying, you know, if we move these people and they're in a critical condition,
and it worsens,
and then they die, I mean, it would be awful if they did that. So it's a bit of a puzzle. You know, you see some of the victims of the attack. This French guy, I mean, it literally gives me shivers just even thinking about it. This sort of 16-year-old French boy on the phone, he literally calls his mum and dad, and I literally, it gives me a lump in my throat. And he calls his mum and dad, and he's like, they're like, we're coming to see you, we're coming to see you. And he's like, are you both coming? And you see them operating on certain people, and it's quite gory. But you actually see they cut, or I don't know if it was the injury, but they just pull back all the skin.
It like peels, doesn't it?
To show the top of the skull. And then there's an injury on the leg, and all the skin is pulled apart, and you can just see the raw, see the bone.
Yeah.
And this other victim was sort of flesh hanging off it, and this couple, and the woman is there, and her partner is being operated on, and she sort of says, you know, we don't go out much.
I've
always been really scared of the tube, so we decided to walk instead.
Oh,
I mean, it's horrendous watching it. There weren't that many casualties, fortunately, in that attack, I think. 4 or 5 people.
Yeah.
Well, it's 5 too many, isn't it? But anyway, it's so impressive how they deal with it. And actually, I was reading on the brief this morning that something like 45% of people in the survey said that they were unimpressed, dissatisfied it was, with the NHS. And,
yeah.
And actually, I'm always someone who says that I feel genuinely so lucky that we have the NHS in this country. And, you know, you might have to wait for an appointment, but ultimately, if it's critical, they are so amazing. And I had all my children on the NHS, and the level of care I got with all of them, I mean, you obviously hear horror stories, but the level of care I had with all of them was just incredible. And if something goes wrong, they are just on it, and it makes you feel so lucky and also just so impressed with how they respond to it. Like, they're literally in this meeting and they just very calmly go, and it all just happens. And I don't know, it was just so quick to criticise.
Definitely. I think so many people probably don't realise the seriousness of what goes on behind closed door and how complex it really is to get everything done to the right manner. Because one simple mistake could be devastating.
Human error.
There's always going to be human error. That's the thing. It's so quick to blame people, but you know, there's always, it's never going to be foolproof, is it?
No.
And doctors are always going to make mistakes. Like, we all do in our jobs. I mean, all of us make mistakes every day. It was really good. If you've got a spare hour, I'd recommend watching it.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch that.
We also did a roundup recently on new things to watch on Netflix. And I wanted to mention a film called Anthropoid. I don't know if you've heard of this.
I really want to watch this.
It is incredible. And it stars Cillian Murphy. Is that how you pronounce his name? Cillian Murphy and Jamie Dornan. Okay, so had me there. But it's a true story about this mission at the start of the Second World War to assassinate, he was called General Heydrich. He was sort of the number 3 Nazi after Hitler and Himmler.
Oh, wow.
And these two Czech guys are given this mission to assassinate him. And I didn't really realise, or I'd forgotten what a role the Czech Republic had in the Second World War. And B, it is just such a brilliant film, and I just can't recommend it more highly. Anything else that anyone's been watching? Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
You watch that.
Yeah.
I've never watched
it. It's so good.
And I love it.
It's in a prison.
I know.
You should absolutely watch it.
And then I saw a series 5. I was like, I do not have time.
Yeah, they're short. They're 13 episodes a season. Am I right? 13 a season?
Yeah, but that is 5 seasons, 13 episodes.
Yeah, but it's not 24 episodes, which a lot of shows are. It's so good.
Is it?
I watched the first 2 seasons, and then the third one came out and it was just a bit silly.
I think it got
reinforced.
The first season is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, so different. That's what I loved about it. It's not like anything else on TV. Because it's so, like, what happens there is so awful. people, but it's funny. It's a
and
it's
yeah, dark, black you see comedy. That, it's to good. Me, I like the grittiness and the realness.
But the first season was a bit more realistic. Like,
yeah, well, because it's true. It's a true story.
Yeah. I mean, they've probably bend the truth quite
it's
a bit.
Obviously, drama.
The reason why it was so exciting when it first came out is because it was all like pretty much all female cast, and all the characters were just so defined and like real women.
There's no like airs and graces or airbrushing or anything on these girls. Like, it's as real as it gets.
I think I like how, because they go off every episode and you learn a little bit about each woman and their story and where they got to where they are. And that develops throughout the whole 5 series.
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely worth a watch. It's not nitty and gritty. Like,
no,
UK
I quite like
that.
I mean, find
drama.
Me a real prison documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, but it's not
it
like happy
comedy.
Clappy.
No,
it's
comedy.
A comedy, but bad things happen to these people. And, and it is about, kind of, you know, stuff goes on in prison, gambling affair and sexual abuse. And, you know, all the things that actually, the bad things that do happen in prison. So it's not just a kind of laugh a minute, but it's great.
Oh, well, when I retire, then maybe I'll let's talk about alcohol units. Because last year the NHS ruled that 14 units of alcohol was the new weekly maximum. I mean, oh my God, do they mean daily or do they mean weekly? I read this piece and it was a bit of a reality check. I actually read this piece on my way to Queens, where I was trying to raise 8 solidly for 12 hours. And I reminded everyone that I was with that one unit equals 8 grams of pure alcohol. And that's the amount of alcohol that your body can process within an hour, basically without being pissed.
Yeah.
When we talk about units all the time, I'm never really sure. People say, how many units do you drink a week? I'm like, does that mean glasses? Well, no, because a small glass of wine is 1.5 units. And a small glass of wine is tiny, isn't it? We don't very often drink small glasses of wine.
No.
So really, we're drinking 2 units whenever we have a glass of wine. Mm. So it just racks up so quickly. Here we go. A standard glass is 2.1 units. A large glass of wine is 3 units. So that's less than 5 large glasses of wine a week.
And also, you could so easily do that in one sitting. Like, hit your weekly quota.
That's what I do. Yeah. Like, on a Saturday. Well,
4 glasses of wine is nearly your weekly limit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know. Do you ever think about your units and the amount you're drinking?
I never think about units.
No. I think, like, if I'm at a party or something, or someone's birthday on a Saturday, like, and you do get pissed, I'm like, the next day, I'm like, oh, I feel guilty about this.
Yeah.
But I would never be like, oh, we've had one unit there.
No,
like,
me neither.
Just, especially when you go out for dinner, you don't feel pissed.
No.
You're eating.
Yeah.
But you're probably just drinking near on a bottle of wine, aren't you?
Definitely.
I'll suddenly, it'll be like Tuesday or something, and I'll realise that I haven't had a day off in like 5 days. Even if it's just one glass. Or so, you know, I'll realise that, oh, I actually drank Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever. So that's when but it takes a couple of days of drinking every day for me to be like, oh, gosh, I actually have to take a step back.
Yeah.
Which is quite bad, I suppose.
I started the new year with a resolution that I would have 3 nights off a week. I read an article that said your liver needs 3 days a week to regenerate, and if you have 3 nights a week where you don't drink, that's enough for your liver to be able to kind of repair from the effect. And just on that note of having booze 3 days, it does say in this article that one should try and give alcohol 3 days a go, because if you drink regularly, your body starts to build up tolerance. So I'm going to stay focused on my 3 nights off. We wrote a piece on CVs and 11 ways to get your CV noticed. I thought this was really interesting to talk about because, I don't know, I see a lot of CVs and I get so bored looking at CVs.
Yeah.
And there isn't really a sort of set formula, but I think there are certain things that one should try and do.
I think it's surprising from a hiring perspective how many CVs are out there. People are obviously actively trying to get jobs that just miss the mark on so many details. And you read it thinking, oh, you're silly, like, you should have included certain elements or cut this down, or why are you telling me
about even just like on a aesthetic thing, like, if we see so many CVs and you're applying for a job at a company that obviously aesthetics mean a lot, so style means a lot, and you just think,
spend a bit more time on it.
Actually, we had this really, I remember seeing a lovely CV recently that had a bit of blush pink on it, and I mean, sometimes they're too complicated and they're too design driven, but I just remember this person had sort of done a box and pulled out different things. I mean, I think a CV that pulls out different elements, things to me that really stand out in a CV are not a personal statement that say I'm this, I'm that, and whatever. I actually find those completely useless because I have great attention to detail. What are your
silly cliches?
Yeah, perfectionist, exactly. God, the thing I always love is a reference. Like, I always think if someone's got a great reference, like, stick that at the top. Like, if it's a reference from someone in the industry that's relevant.
Yeah.
In fact, I was just taking a reference off someone the other day and I rang her up and she was obviously so happy to give her a reference, and she no longer worked for the same company, so there was no kind of difficulties there, and she was absolutely brilliant. she was consistently one of the best in the team at performance. And I was like, that kind of thing, if you can get that and you've got a referee that is prepared to sort of speak up for you, I would put that at the top of the CV.
Definitely.
And I think just making it quick and easy to read, so breaking it up, having, you know, even different fonts or things in different boxes, just so it's really digestible. I think most people who are looking at CVs that land on their desk are just scanning through so many. So somehow you've got to make it really easy for them to pick up on the key points.
Yeah, I don't know what the statistic is, but I'm sure it's a couple of seconds.
Oh,
and then you're in it.
Yeah.
Before this job, my cover letter was a poem.
Oh,
and
yes.
It got me my last job, and it got me freelance work. And my CV was straight, but I've always written my cover letter as a poem. I guess it gets your attention.
Gets your attention, yeah.
We have a meet the team section, and there are questions that everyone in the team answers every season. And I've had a couple of people over the years send a meet the team in.
Oh, I like that.
And
that's cool.
That's really good.
It totally sold them to me because I knew they were on the wavelength of the team, mm-hmm. and based on their answers I could tell that they were a real cultural fit.
I think I actually did that for this job.
Did you?
Really?
I'm pretty sure I did.
That's cute.
You may well have done it. And it's,
what
can I think
idea?
It's clever.
That's a really good idea.
You may well have done it. I know I someone's got a job that did that.
I just fangirled Astrid. So, hey, I'll say, let's give you a job.
Yeah, but that works too.
I guess you also have to sometimes bear in mind what industry you work in.
Of course.
Corporate positions probably.
Yes, yeah, lush pink boxes aren't going to cut it if you're applying to Goldman Sachs. But, you know, it being digestible, it not being too long, I think having a great reference on there if you've got one.
Keywords.
I mean, a lot of people will bang on about a summary and a profile statement. I just don't agree with that at all.
It's very trite, I agree.
I want to know the facts. I want to know their qualifications. I want to know where they've worked and very briefly in real snippets what they did there, not some great big long paragraph.
Yeah.
And obviously it not to have any mistakes.
Yeah, get someone to proofread your CV.
And the other thing I would say that's just so vital is that your CV matches your LinkedIn page.
Mm.
Because I probably look at someone's LinkedIn page more than I look at their CV. And that to me is so useful, LinkedIn, because you don't have to cut through any of the waffle, you know, it's straight to what they've done. So thank God if you spend the time on your CV, spend the time on your LinkedIn page.
Yeah.
Everyone employing anyone is going to be looking at that, so they really need to go hand in hand. Carl wrote a piece on day trips from London, 11 places you can go in under 2 hours from London. I love this because often we get to the weekend and think, right, what should we do?
Mm.
And we make a plan, but we don't just get on a train and go to, I don't know, Henley on Thames.
I recently went to Brighton for the day.
Did you?
Yeah, and that was really good fun. It's just like I said before, good to have a change of scenery, do something a bit different.
Yeah, you feel like you've really like used your weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone's really stuck into it, which is
nice. I got given this card once, which I've always intended to write and give to Jonesy Sitt. And on the card, there's like a poem on the card, and it says something like, one day, can we take a sickie, get on the train, and go to Brighton for the day, and hold hands, and eat ice creams, and wander around, and be in love, and something. And it's just a little, it's not a poem, but it's a something on the front. Yeah. And I just thought, God, I'm not encouraging everyone to take a sickie, to Brighton for the day. But I was like, don't you just love the idea of that? Of just going, let's just sneak off.
That's really cool.
Let's just get on the train and, anyway.
And don't you find that when we're on holiday, and we do loads of things, and we're doing those things, going, God, why don't we do anything at home? We never just like get up and go somewhere. Like, you know, it's so easy, but I don't know, you come home and I mean, I'm so bad, we never go anywhere.
Just
like
your routine.
Yeah, you just do, but it's so, like, all of these places are so accessible.
Yeah.
You know, car or train. Like, I wish that I did do more of this kind of stuff.
On that note, we went for a picnic with some friends at Richmond Park on Sunday, and the weekend before they'd been to the Isle of Wight for the day.
For the day.
And they love a trip, this family. They love an
outing. How long does it take?
They get up, they leave at 7:30 and they get a 9:30 ferry.
Mm-hmm.
And how long does the ferry to Isle of Wight take? Half an hour,
isn't it? Okay.
And they're in the out of white by something being a 10. And they do something in the morning, they have lunch, they do something in the afternoon, and then they have, I don't know if they have high tea or something, then they come back late and get back at about 10 o'clock.
I mean, I wouldn't think it was ridiculous to go to Paris for the day, so I don't know why that seems ridiculous to me. It's not ridiculous, it's lovely, yeah. So lovely.
You don't ever think, I'm going to go to the Isle of Wight this weekend, because where would you stay? And, I don't know, you just wouldn't. I'm not going there to see anybody, but I just think that's really cool to see that kind of thing. And you can go, you can get the train there and get on the ferry, you don't have to have a car.
Can you? I'd be worried about travelling things, yeah. I want to go to Margate and see the Dreamland.
It's all over the tube, isn't it? It looks so cool.
What? Dreamland? It's like a revamped theme park, isn't it? Like
yeah, but it's cool book. So Margate's like hipsterville now.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of years ago we wrote a piece on Margate, didn't we? And everyone was going nuts about going to Margate.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like the new Brighton, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's just a bit further than Brighton, isn't
it?
It's not
really.
I imagine everyone has a beard.
Is it on the sea? Yeah. Got a beard. Is it on the sea?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I really want to go see the Dreamland. It is plastered all over the tube, all the posters.
Is it?
It's really cool. Yeah.
Let's talk about teeth whitening kits, because we reviewed, everyone on the team reviewed a different kit, and I think we put 8 to the test, and two friends of mine have both independently said, was that genuine? Did you really review it? And I was like, yes, of course we did. She was like, good, because I've ordered white shock intensive whitening treatment.
I think that was Maddie who reviewed that one, and the week after I was like, whoa, Maddie, your teeth look really
white. Really?
Oh, yeah. Mine didn't do anything.
Mine said you use it 10 minutes every other day for 2 weeks. Teeth were a good 2 shades lighter.
Oh, she had this in so much.
Did she?
She's like, maybe I should have the mouth done.
Just get my teeth whitening in. Well, at least they work.
Okay.
The train.
Sure, on the train.
Yeah.
Some of them must work.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you go to the dentist now and they give you the kits and you do them at home.
Mm.
So, obviously, those are probably going to be better. But, I mean, my husband got in so much trouble for saying this. He's like, don't tell anyone. He did a kit that he got from the dentist. Mm. And everyone who knew him was like, oh my God, you got literally Hollywood white teeth.
That's amazing.
And it really, really worked. He actually hasn't done it for a while. And I think you do need to do it again.
Yeah.
He did it like a year ago or something. And he had pearly white lashes. So I think some of them must work.
Yeah.
Well, which one did you try, Astrid?
I tried Billion Dollar Smile. And I was I really didn't believe it was going to do much. Because I had my teeth professionally whitened about 5 years ago.
Mm, me too.
And they were super white.
Yeah.
I think it's probably all gone now. But
I think you do really have to keep it up.
Yeah. But I was really impressed. After one or two goes, I really saw a difference. So it's like one of those mouth guards. You put the solution in, shove it in, and then you have a light.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep it in for about 15, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I really did see the difference. The only thing I would say is the mouth guard is obviously one size fits all, and it was quite big. So my mouth's quite small.
What did you do, Maya?
I did the home whitening kit from Diamond Whites, and this is definitely quantity over quality, unfortunately. I mean, it did have a bit of an effect, but it definitely wasn't what I was hoping.
Like,
no,
not like Diamonds.
Because they're actually really heavily marketed on like Instagram and things, so I was hoping I was going to have this Essex white smile, but unfortunately I did not. But, you know, tried it. It was okay, just probably not worth the amount of money.
£40, yeah. What about you, Charlotte?
I use the Pro Light Teeth Whitening System by Luster, and it sounds similar to yours, Mike. There was just so much equipment involved. You need to like paint my teeth with this one thing, and then like paint it with another thing, and then hold this light, and it's just too much.
You hold the light.
Yeah, you hold it. What was yours like?
Just mine, like, so the light fits into the rim of the mouth.
So mine's like a handheld light, and you have to go like this, like, for like 3 minutes, like mouth open, and like I just can't do that.
For 3 minutes?
2 minutes. Do you know what? I actually found in that time that 2 minutes goes really silly. Because I was like, to have your mouth open for 2 minutes is really
like being at the dentist.
Yeah. It's really unpleasant. But I really like mine done professionally. So.
Well, I think in summary, it's blanks that came out on top. So actually, if you're after effective home teeth whitening, their toothpaste also got a really good review from someone in the team and said when it was used for 3 weeks, it did make a difference. It's obviously not a long-term solution, but perhaps none of these are.
I have to say, I was using a charcoal toothpaste.
Right.
Just under a year ago, and it really did make a difference. So many people commented on how white my teeth were. It's quite messy though.
Was it black?
Black. Yeah. I mean, I was obviously very careful with it and cleaned up after myself, but my boyfriend was using it and it was literally up the wall. I was like, you have to stop using this.
Like, electric toothbrush, like flinging it off against the wall.
Interesting, was it expensive?
It's under £20, I think, and it lasts quite a while. Okay. I've actually just bought some new stuff, so I'm going to start using it again.
Well, going back to blanks, the intensive whitening treatment is £16.50 and the toothpaste is £5. So yes, I think probably that is the one that came out on top. Holidays. Charlotte, you said your holiday was oyster, Bloody Mary, and something deep fried.
Yeah, loads of deep fried things. Yeah.
So not the healthiest of holidays. What's everyone's approach when it comes to holidays and health and fitness?
Well, you all know that I was really nervous before I went on this holiday about quite how much weight I was going to gain, because it's June as well. This is not October. It's not like jumper season. It's like the beginning of summer. So we did make a really conscious effort. We made sure that every hotel had a gym in it, so we weren't stranded, because it was way too hot to be exercising outside. And for week one, we were so good. Every other day we did. We got up, we worked out, and it does make you feel so much better, like just about what you're eating and drinking every day.
It also gives you a bit of a... I find that I want to eat when I go on holiday. It gives you a bit of a hunger, doesn't
it?
Yeah,
exactly.
Supper.
Exactly. It gets you like in the mood. But it really just dissipated as the second week ensued.
Well, not bad.
We did like four workouts in the first week or something. So at least the first week was maybe like a bit more moderate. But I think for a 2 week holiday, it's quite hard to maintain. But I definitely think it's doable.
Turns out you are. Yeah. Also, you were on the go, you're moving around.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I really, really do work out when I go on holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm such a gym bunny, for want of a better description. And I go religiously in the week.
How many times did you go?
On a holiday, I'd probably go every day.
Oh my god.
But I want to eat on holiday.
Yeah.
I mean, I am not going on holiday and eating lettuce leaves. I love a hotel breakfast. I'm not a huge luncher in the sun for rosé and... yeah, liquids, fruit.
Will you go in the morning on a holiday? Because I can't lie in the sun.
Yeah,
and go to the gym.
I go, no, absolutely not. And I'm like that anyway, I go really early to the gym. Yeah, I will go, but also we love dinner. You know, we never really order room service. We like to have a good dinner every night and always get a bit carried away and probably drink too much. And so I want to be hungry for my breakfast the next day, but I never wake up that hungry. So I always try and go before breakfast, and then I can enjoy my breakfast, and then I have a later breakfast, have a really big breakfast, and then I'm not like, if it's hot, I'm not so fussed about lunch. But for me, I would, you know, I'm a health conscious person, and I would rather go and do my exercise, or I love playing tennis on another day if I can. But to me, that's how I enjoy it, and then I don't sort of feel guilty about really indulging.
If you don't have a gym in your hotel on holiday, then I do highly recommend resistance bands. They provide such an effective workout for quite a short period of time. You can do like a 20-minute workout with resistance bands, and they really, really do work. I recently did a workout actually on the London Eye with Barry's Boot Camp. Me and Zoe went, and that was just 30 minutes resistance band training, because you obviously can't jump up and down on London Eye. And it was really hard, so I would really recommend that.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a malco with resistance bands. I have quite sore knees, and my PT, she bought one along with me, and I kept falling off. I was like, this is really annoying me, Annie, can we just get rid of it? And she was like, okay. So maybe I need to...
But there's lots of different ways
to
use them.
A HIIT workout on your phone.
Yeah, that's exactly.
If you don't have any time.
Yeah, Swirkit. Have you heard of Swirkit?
No.
Someone told me about this app, and she's really fit. And there's a free version that's really good. And you can go and you can choose, you know, core, you can choose upper body, lower body, bums, whatever. And then these little workouts. Oh, it's a really,
that's good.
It's a really
good
app.
Good. Yeah. Good way to keep motivated. Yeah. And try and do it on your own.
Yeah. Talking of holidays, what to do pre and post spray tan? Charlotte.
I think if I were a mastermind, this would be my specialist subject. Honestly, Claudia Winkleman, I don't know if you read this, wrote her piece in Sunday Times Style this Sunday all about how a spray tan for her is just like the be all and end all. And I feel like it's like my spirit guide, like yes to that. Like, but I can't explain. Like, I would get rid, you know, when people say, like, if you could only have one beauty treatment again for the rest of your life, I mean, I don't even have to think about the answer to that. It is a spray tan.
I'm concerned that you took your watch off earlier and you have a serious watch mark, yet to me, you look less brown now than I'm used to seeing.
Yeah, well,
you don't have any fake tan on.
Yeah, well, first of all, I don't think the cold is doing me any favours, but yeah, exactly that. Like, I think if I tanned really well in the sun, then I probably wouldn't be quite so married to it, but because I don't go the colour that I'd like to go, I've got to pay for it to be sprayed onto me.
I am with you, by the way, and I'm having spray tan on Thursday, and if I go on holiday, I will have spray tan, partly because I have, as I keep saying, grown up about the sun, and the only trouble is you go on holiday looking better than when you come home.
By the time you come home,
your tan's worn off. I went to Amman last year and I went feeling great, and by like day four I was like, God, I'm seriously pacing. Yes, like, summer wardrobe is not looking as good as it was, so maybe you need to get on mid-holiday as well.
James said to me, he's like, you're the only person that goes on holiday and comes back paler.
No, don't worry.
I'm now with you, but it's just the smell. I sort of feel like, I know I don't do it myself, I get Perfect 10, they're really good value, and they just come and pop up a tent in my sitting room and I'm in and out. But it's just, it comes off on your sheets, on your towels, on your clothes, and the smell. And I can put up with it, you know, for a holiday, But do you not just get so sick of all that?
Well,
I do only get immune to it now.
Well, first of all, yeah, I'm happy. I will take all of that and more if it means that I can be brown. But second of all, I do only get it for like an occasion. So yeah, I get it if I'm going away or if I've got a wedding or something, not just kind of every weekend, as much as I would like to do that. No, yeah, honestly, I don't care.
It only comes off once you've the like evening you've had it though.
No, but it doesn't. It sort of keeps coming. Well, I actually have tonight's the night now. So where I get it and you keep it on for 3 hours and then you wash it off.
Oh, see, I get Saint-Tropez Express, which is the same, but I would still not wash it off after 3 hours. I read
after the developing time, so say it's 3 hours or 8 hours, it won't ever get any darker.
No, I know that's true. I'm just nervous.
Yeah, well, once I was going on holiday and had a really early morning flight, so I had to be up at like 3:30 or something. So I shaved a couple of hours off my spray tan allowance, and it really didn't work.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's my worst.
It came off like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So now I always keep it on, like, the amount of time or longer.
What other rules would you say? I mean, I always wash my hands, even though they wipe your hands. Mm-hmm. I always actually kind of wash my hands after an hour or so because I can't bear it if my hands are too orange.
Yeah.
And the same with my feet. Mm-hmm. So I, even though I know they are on the side of caution, I can spot someone's dodgy feet mm-hmm. a mile away. So that would be my tip, is don't leave your feet on as long as everything else. Mm-hmm. And what tips would you give Charlotte the queen of spray tans?
I think it's all about the exfoliating before. So I use a brush, like a really heavy scrubbing brush, for like 2 or 3 days in advance, and won't wear any fake tan kind of in the build up to a spray tan. And we'll make sure that for like probably 2 or 3 days in advance, every shower I'm scrubbing and then moisturising really heavily, just so your skin isn't dry.
Yeah, that is the trouble, because then it just goes along the crack and you get like a cheetah.
It's not a good look.
Yeah. How long do you get last for?
I say you get two and a half to three really good days, and then after that you're on the downhill slope, I'd say.
Mm. It doesn't sound that great when you say it like that, does
it? But it's so good for those few days.
The pool and the sea.
Oh, well, yeah, don't go to the pool and the sea.
I mean,
if I go on a mini break, so if I go away for like a few days.
I don't find this really sad.
But if I'm going away for like 2 or 3 days, I won't go in the water in that time. I'd rather be tanned. I'd rather sit for the 3 days and feel tanned than I would get wet and ruin it. Because again, my wardrobe looks rubbish. I'll get in the shower, like the outside shower. Instead
I'm
of
a run and bomb in the swimming pool
kind of
girl.
You're a run and bomb in the swimming pool.
Cool kind of girl, so this just wouldn't work for me. Yeah.
See, it works for me because I don't really like swimming pools.
There you go.
I love swimming, that's my favourite.
I like dipping and out.
Well, no, that's why I mean, I don't go for like a swim.
Okay, James, like, put your head on the go on it. No.
I just like to cool off, but it's the shower every time.
I better get fluffing then for 2 days. Let's talk about sale season, because we are in it right now. What are the things you always look for when it's sale time? Are you sale shoppers?
I'm a sale shopper, but I'm
oh, you are? You like the next sale, we know that.
I don't do the midsummer next sale, just Christmas.
Only the Boxing Day.
I'm quite bad when it comes to sales, at being roped into buying lots and lots of things and then getting home and thinking, why did I do that? I'm never going to wear any of it. And I try so hard now to just look for block plain items that I know I'll wear throughout the year, as opposed to going mad on a trend. I know it's cheaper, so maybe it's a better way to do it, but you do end up spending a few £100s and then thinking, oops, I'm not going to wear it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Try not to follow the trends, though. I think sales is key.
So what both my boyfriend and my dad do, which is so clever and I wish I could be this disciplined, is they make wish lists on Mr. Porter throughout the whole year, and then the minute it goes into sale, they just buy it. Obviously not the whole thing necessarily, but then it's just there and it's done, and it's so clever and it's so disciplined. I mean, I think it might be a man thing, I'm not sure.
So there is also send alerts when your wish list goes on sale.
When the sale begins, you get alerted.
But so they don't alert you that your item has gone on
not
sale.
Necessarily,
I'm sure lists
do
that, don't they? There is a website where you can bookmark pieces earlier in the season, and
that's
you get an alert that.
I guess with Mr. Porter, what's on your wish list is either going to be in the general sale or it's not. Mm. And yeah, and then they'll just go and they'll buy whatever they want from it. I think that's really clever.
Yeah, I'm not a great sale shopper. I'm trying to just buy less and buy better, and I don't think the sale brings out the best in me. I think it has me looking at shoes that aren't quite the shoes that I wanted, but they're in the sale. My husband is forever sending me links to shoes. I'm like, no, just because it's in the sale, no, I don't want it. But, you know, I think it's dangerous. As you said, you just get swept away.
Yeah.
So I think it's a sensible approach, what your boyfriend and your father do. And those are the things you're hankering after, or in my case, they didn't go in the sale.
It's sold out anyway.
I bought a swimming costume, that was it.
Where?
Yeah, solid and striped. Because it was half price. So that's, like, for me, that's quite a big, like, that's a massive difference, £150 down to like 70.
Yes,
I'm not gonna spend £150.
I think that's actually a really good point. Swimwear, really good, like, t-shirts.
Yeah.
Mm.
or just a, like a nice jacket that you know you're going to wear season after season.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm obsessed with the outnet as well. So yeah, you don't need to wait for the seasonal sales to
get it. Are you? Do you buy a lot on the outnet?
Yeah, I love it.
I have to say, talking of the outnet, I think Iris and Ink is just nailing it at the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's their own brand. And obviously, as part of Net-a-Porter, they have all the intelligence of what trends sell and what their customers want. Mm-hmm. And then they take all that intelligence and turn it into a really affordable, it's a bit of sort of capsule collection, I guess. And
I never thought of it like that. That's it. So true. Yes, they can just take all that data for what people are looking
for. That Isabel Marant wrap belt that used to sell out time and time again. The one at the outnet is £40 and it's a winner. I think it's well worth tracking Iris and Ink. So that's it for this week. If you have any feedback, then do email podcast@sheerlux.com. And if you enjoyed that, then do please leave a review and subscribe on iTunes. See you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.